How are we doing? Welcome back. We're buying part two.
You hear that?
Yes.
That is Manscaped working to the best of its ability.
That is my nose trimmer.
It's our nose trimmer. You hear it?
I hear it all right.
Big thanks to our sponsor for the episode, Manscaped.
Get it in your Britney Spears and all.
Unbelievable. The number one provider of precision engineering tools.
You can probably turn that off now, John.
For the family jewels.
Talk about ripping the arse out.
I'm done, mate, yeah.
You look magnificent.
I look up with ultra.
A few snots up there, but you...
There it is. The old trimmer engineered to prevent any nicks around the old nuggets.
It's immaculate, isn't it? Yes. You haven't used that, have you?
Where? I've not used that one, no. I've got my own at home with them.
And we've got a special offer, as always.
Of course we have.
For you under the cosh listeners, the Manscaped Performance Package. Are you interested in what you get with the Manscaped Performance Package?
I'm sure you are.
You get the Lawnmower 3.0 Precision Trimming. No nicks. You also get the Weed Whacker, which John
hear it.
Is continuing to demonstrate. Again, that is my Weed Whacker.
That's it at work, that.
You get a lovely pair of boxers, the good gruds as
they
well.
They are very good.
Snug looking
fit. In fact, they're my favourite. They've gone straight in as number one.
Yeah.
Just comfortable.
They're not the Jeff Banks off top spot.
Yeah.
You get a travel bag as well. So when you're out and about, you can take it with you.
Comes in handy.
Thing is, I know we're half joking about, but no women like, or very few I can imagine like, undoing the zip. And a big bush in the grid.
No. It's unforgivable.
You know what I mean? I don't think any are going to think, oh, I like the look of that.
No.
As opposed to fresh, job done. You can just,
Get him one. A little tip for you ladies, if he is letting it go loose a little bit, when he comes home from work, a little treat, maybe think, go downstairs, chewing gum in, preferably bubble gum. Let it slip out, gets all tied in. He's got to whip it off then, hasn't he? He's not going to leave it. He can't put his pubes in freezer.
Bubble gum not included.
No, you don't get any bubble gum with
no.
it. No, you get the shampoo and all that, don't you?
Oh, you get the lights.
Aftercare.
Yeah.
Aftercare, we're talking the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. We're talking Crop Reviver Ball Toner. And all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COSH20, and you get 20% off.
I mean, all them are good for the spontaneous ones. You know, if you're out for a walk or something. Oh, I've got my wipes in my pocket. 2 seconds, love.
What do you mean you're out for a walk?
You know what I mean, though, don't you?
Voyeurism. You're into voyeurism or cottages.
Oh, I'm not too sure. I can just picture it. You're in the car park. You're just about to turn your light on and you think, oh, no, I've not washed my balls.
Yeah. Glove box.
Get it, glove box.
Close your eyes for a minute. Ready?
I'm just... polishing them up.
So all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COSH20, and you get 20% off the Manscaped Performance Package.
I mean, if there's anybody who wants to go for a walk with Brownie, do get in touch and he'll show you what he means.
Again, that's not part of the offer.
Dogging? You into dogging?
Nah. What a question that is.
I know, a bit personal. Cut that, mate.
You've got all your gear in the car.
You've been following me.
Just before the Alzheimer's come on, a bit of ball preserver. Away you go. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good evening.
No matter.
Very good, very good.
I don't like your body language, John.
Mine, why?
You look like a tired teddy.
I am a tired teddy, to be fair. I am a tired teddy, up early. Up early. It's half eight, quarter to nine. My age now, I'm not far off feather now.
You ready for a cocoa?
No, cocoa.
Emmerdale Omnibus.
Wasted calories at this time of night, aren't they?
You're not burning them off in your sleep, are you?
No, not unless I treat myself to a sleeping tablet.
Andy Welsh this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team smartest. Quite dressed, quite smart, didn't he? Little t-shirt and shirt combination, sleeves rolled up, if I remember correctly.
He had the sweet back as well.
Reminded me, he'll probably not thank me for saying this, but it reminded me a little bit of Teabag of Prison Break.
Any more insults you want to chuck Andy's way?
No, I'm just saying, I just paid him a compliment saying he came dressed smart, but he reminded me of Teabag. All I needed was a fake hand and a tissue hanging out in his pocket.
He used to get splinter.
Off the turtles.
Yeah. But another great lad.
Top guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, brilliant. he's taken some task on now as well at Bury.
I know.
He's a manager.
Yeah. Fair play to him. He's, I don't know if he's younger than me. He might be younger than me. But he's done his coaching badges and set out on the trail early doors. But we used to have, after training, FIFA sessions. That was mine and Welsh's bonding. FIFA sessions with his cats.
Oh, his precious cats. I can't believe it when he told us about them, by the way.
How many did he have? Did he have a few cats? But they come everywhere.
Yeah, there was two or three. He's played for the. He played under a few of the old faithful, hasn't he? Pat Carlton, Mick,
Roy.
Roy Keane, yeah. That'll never meet your heroes again.
Well, we'll find out.
Don't get too much away, Christopher.
Hey, a good spread again on the Euros wins this
as
week.
Ever.
Seven took home £120 and 28p. You want to be precise?
Life changing again.
Yeah.
Not quite life changing this week, Chris. Not quite life changing, but. It's your Britney Spears on a Saturday night, a nice Chinese and a bottle of red for the missus in it.
Yeah. Weekly shop that. Think family for a week. Ooh, and, maybe, and a bit extra.
Maybe not in my household, Chris. It's not, it's about 70% of the weekly shop.
Not if you're getting the minted lamb chops in, Johnny boy.
No, not half. Miss Bash Boss. Wallop, have them.
Shall we get Andy in then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Get him in.
Care about Andy. Andy Welsh, how are you doing?
Very good, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been missing going at barbers, but fucking hell.
He was having kittens earlier, but I'm worried about my barber.
Yeah, he took a lot of pressure off my...
That Brill cream syrup as well?
No, it's not. It's just a bit of a dry wax.
You look good.
I think I am. I mean, someone posted a video the other day and the air was all over the gaff. I was trying to be Beckham. I look nothing like. Look more like the guy out of Pirates of Caribbean.
Is that the one you sent me?
Yeah, yeah.
You're very serious.
I was angry.
You ran the length of the pitch, beat about 10 players, and nearly tripped over, and you just ran back into position. All
I were angry.
Pied Albie.
Yeah, because the ball came back into me. It took a bobble and kind of ran out of play. So I wasn't happy with it.
So while she came to Sunderland, it was when Mick went on a.
Mick McCarthy.
He signed. Yeah. Lord, I've spoke about it. I bored you many a time with it, but he signed loads from the lower leagues and lads who had potential.
Yeah,
he signed a little rat.
Yeah, I was flying. Yeah, I remember it's when I came up there. There was a lot all you guys in the dressing room, the younger lads, and you'd just been done for paintballing or something.
What we're getting involved
with? I'm thinking I'm coming to this huge club, and you go straight in with these guys, and he's like, yeah. Gaff wants to see you about the paintballing incident. And then I went to see Mick and he was like, yeah, listen, we need to keep things a bit quiet. There's been a problem with some of the younger lads and you were involved in it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Going around shooting old grannies.
It's a good job. It's a good job you didn't sign 6 weeks before or else I'd have drafted you in.
I probably would have been involved.
You'd have been sniper.
How old were you when you got to Sunderland?
I think I was 20, 21 at the time.
Right.
You're still quite young yourself, though, weren't you?
Well, it was funny because I came into the game late anyway at 16 when I'd signed at Stockport, which is late really now, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone seems to go through academy systems and things like that. So when I'd signed at Stockport, it was kind of like I still didn't kind of know what was going on. First pre-season was a graft. I'd never ran like anything like that before. And then when I got into the first team at Stockport, I think it was 18 at the time, it was a bit of a baptism of fire because it was they were in the Championship, and my first game was against Millwall, and I always remember we lost 4-0 on day, but we were 3-0 down before half time, and I've gone to a warm-up, think I'll have a warm-up in Championship against Millwall, and I was 8.5 stone as well, right?
What?
Yeah, I was honestly. I've gone to warm up and they're starting a chant about Kit Kat legs and pointing at me and all this. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I've not even played yet. Here's a chance, guys.
Well, it's away at Millwall as well.
No, it was at home, but they brought a big following. And it was, I came on at half time. and I actually got man of the match. But we still lost 4-0. So.
You only lost 1-0 second half, though, didn't you?
Only lost 1-0 second half, yeah. Well, I always remember it was funny because we had Tim Flowers in net. Obviously, he was coming to the end of his career and we'd got him on loan from, so I can't remember where it was we got him on loan for. But just lost 4-0 at home. Fans were booing and everything. Because it was one of them, I think the manager was on his way out, Andy Kilner at the time. And I were late getting into the shower, so gone into the shower and he's just there whistling in the shower, Tim Flowers. Just lost 4-0 at home.
Was he at fault for a couple, I take it, as well?
Oh, fucking hell. He got chips on his line and everything. No, I can't remember what the goal's like, but he went, well, she, listen, that's your first game there today. Don't worry about things. It's when you start hearing the crowd having a go at you, that's when you'll start worrying about your game. So I'm thinking, just lost 4-0, he's whistling in the shower.
Happy as Larry.
This is no word of a lie, right? The next four games, we've lost 12 goals and he's been in net for all. We lost away at Preston 6-0.
Still whistling
in the shower. His hips hanging off, he can't lift his right arm. I don't know why he was still playing at that time. No, he was a good guy though. It's, you know, you learn off people like that, don't you, when they're coming to the end of your career. And you know, I was 18, 19 at the time, I think. So
was Carlton manager when you started?
No, so Andy Kilner was manager and then he went and Carlton came in. So that season we got relegated from the championship.
Promoted as from player to player manager?
No. He came in as player manager.
Right.
So we were all thinking, here we go. We're going to start climbing this table here, aren't we? You know, ex-England international. And he brought Rico in. Obviously, he was at
Kevin Richardson.
Yeah. Colin Murphy.
Yeah. Murphy from Hull.
Yeah. So, it was an interesting time because obviously Carlton came in and I think he struggled to kind of coach players that weren't of a
certain level,
yeah. But he was funny. He used to do demos and he used to go, can you just open it up? But to be fair, his technique weren't that great either. So he'd like just open it up and go and he'd just over back at foot and it fly off there. So you're all sat there and you're thinking, Rico, give us a ball. And he'd hit it again and he'd like shank it again. He'd hit people in front of him. And honestly, until he got it right, we'd still be there. So it was, you know, Carlton was one of them as a manager. You know, I just don't think he was cut out to be a manager. The type of person he was, I don't think he could accept some.
How did he do as a player? Because we've heard that he put himself centre half. And
it was funny. I think his first game, he scored an overhead kick against Norwich live on ITV or whatever it was at the time. And it was, I remember he coming off, that's how you do it, guys. That's how you do it. And it was, I'm sure it was live on the telly at the time. And he came, and I think we beat Norwich. I think it was 2-1 or something. And he scored the winner. I think Albie scored as well. And he come in giving it, that's how you do it. And I don't think we won after that. But anyway, you know, we ended up, you know, getting through, I suppose, them tough periods. And then I started to get more of a run in the side. And under him. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we end of season, we had some decent games. Well, we beat Man City. I remember meeting Man City. Yeah. But to be fair, Carlton had a great game that day. He had a goater and John Macken in his pocket. No, he did, honestly.
I bet he fucking let you know about it.
I'll tell you something. We had ITV coming in the dressing room before the game. So he said, look, lads, and we're looking at it. And he always struggled saying names or writing names down. So we're all sat there and he's like, he's calling Huckleberry.
Huckleberry Finn up front.
So like, we're all killing ourselves here. Because he's going, and watch out for Darren Huckleberry. And the best one was Sean Guter. So we're thinking, hang on a minute. But I tell you what, a tongue twister for him was Ali Benabia. So obviously Ali Benabia, what a player he was, by the way. But
he couldn't even pronounce
those three players, he was struggling to say that.
How do you find his character? Especially the young lad.
We've had
him on and he's a confident man.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Listen, he's one of them. so many stories. I remember just before I signed for the night before I signed for Sunderland, he took over as manager at Mansfield, and I don't know how he got hold of it, but he called me on my house number, and he was trying to convince me not to sign for Sunderland and to sign for him at Mansfield.
I think you're pissing it. I think you're pissing it in there, Carl.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't sell it. I went. Phone's going crackly.
Chris Wang.
So, but no, you know, he's a good career, and I mean, I don't think anyone will have a bad word to say about him.
Albie loved him, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought
his big time shouts and that.
Oh well, yeah, that was funny. Showtime, and remember going out in Preston once. He said, "End it season, we'll go on a." Doing Preston, and we went to, is it Tokyo Joe's and all that?
Let's go Preston for a night.
Well, no, what he did was we went somewhere in Preston. It was like a sports camp or something, and we were doing like archery and all this. End of season, lads, fucking hell, just been relegated out of Championship. No, I don't want to go and do archery in Preston. You know what I mean? So we went to Tokyo Joe's that night, and he comes out and. He's got like this big black cape on, like Batman. And all you just keep seeing all night is him just turning and like the, you know, the flaps just kind of flipping around like Batman.
What, an actual cape?
Oh, it looked like a cape. I mean,
was it leather?
The jury's out whether it was a cape, but it was leather. Yeah. It was leather.
And it weren't fancy dress.
Picture it.
Definitely weren't fancy dress. I didn't get the memo.
If anybody's pulling a cape off, it's Carlton.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it was a cape, but it was a long black jacket.
Like Matrix job.
Definitely Matrix job, yeah. He was way ahead of his time.
I can just see him in some cream Farrah's underneath it. Yeah. And a pink shirt.
He was, but obviously we had a few nights out with him because he liked to drink, but his eye used to go wandering as well. Because he had a few bevies and that, so.
What, to the women or?
No, his eye just wander.
All right.
I'm guilty of that.
I think like, he must lose control in one of his eyeballs or something because all of a sudden want to just go whoop. So, too many to drink there, Carlton, I think. For some reason, I always remember my first ever game at Christmas, you know, around the New Year's Eve time. And just stories like this replay in my head because I never want it to happen ever again. We're playing West Brom away on New Year's Day with Stockport, and I knew it was going to be a big game the next day because West Brom were top of the league. I think they had Lee Hughes at the time. They were absolutely flying. Gary Megson were in charge, and we got pumped 4-0 on New Year's Day. I'm talking pumped. I'm playing left wing back against two players. I can't remember their right wing back, but he's like this Russian guy who just didn't. He was like a robot, just didn't stop running. And was it Scott Dolby? Do you remember Scott Dolby? Yeah. And they bullied us basically. But it all goes back for me for the night before with Carlton Palmer's getting us up at 12 bells to have a drink.
New Year's.
So honestly, I swear to God, fast asleep in the room. Phone goes, got to get downstairs now. The gaffer wants everyone down for a drink. So lads are coming down in like, you know,
pajamas.
What's going on? It's still, you know, half asleep and that. Right, lads, we're having a drink. We're going to see it in style. We're a team. We're together and all that lot. And, you know, he's like, you had to have a beer. You had to have a beer. And I'm just thinking, geez.
And then what's he thinking? I just imagine if he's down there with his DP.
Oh, well, he'll be twatting Carlton, won't
he? DP drink, for CP, yeah. That's what he used to say. DP for CP.
Half 11, oh, get lads down. Get the lads down.
Well, I see the new year in his style.
Yeah. This is a good idea. We'll get all the lads out of bed for a drink, eh? Yeah, Carlton, aye. Yeah.
I definitely don't think Rico would have thought that were a good idea.
Round them up.
But yeah, we got a pump in the next day. And I just think stuff like that, you know, you want to be as professional as you can in the game, don't you? So especially when we came when I came to Sunderland, we had such a good dressing room that fought for each other. And when Mick brought us in, you know, I just wanted to you know, not give anyone an opportunity to leave me out of a team or a squad. Or so even if you were left out of a squad or a team, you still worked as hard as you can. Or a biggest thing is the lads supported each other as well. I didn't, again, go back to that resentment and resilience side of it. I didn't really see much resentment from the lads if others weren't playing. And that it was more a case of we wanted to win the league or we wanted to get promoted.
Did you go on trial then at Sunderland?
First, yeah. So I went up on, I think it was November time. So I don't think them transfer windows were involved at that point. You could move at any time. So I went up, Mick McCarthy. He brought me in and just said, we will be signing you. We just want to have a look at you because we know you've not played in a while, which I totally understood. You know, you can get that kind of...
But at least you knew where you were from.
Well, exactly, yeah. So we played a training game first day, and to be fair to him, he pulled me after the first session and said, we'll sign you. So I just had to agree a deal.
I mean, I spoke a lot about... There was a lot of young lads in that changing room who... we didn't run the dressing room, but we probably took liberties, didn't we?
yeah.
The young lads...
I tell you, it was funny when we went to Marbella and Tommy Myra were you.
I feel like I forgot about that, but...
He took a dislike in there for some reason.
But I can't remember... Arrogant Chris coming out?
No, I can't remember what it was.
I remember we were on the beach and I remember we had a few drinks or whatever and... Do you remember Jeff and Wright were having a fight with a blow-up swan? And it was one of them ones where you think, oh, so they, you know, like the blow up swans and all that, like they'd let them down, and then Jeff was start whacking it on Righty's back. So, you know, when it's slapping with but it's like, because they're drunk, it's coming across very, very hard. and you're thinking, he's got to be pissed to be taking that. And then he's going, go on, you whack me now. So they're just fighting with this swan. And I remember Tommy Myra, were you just, for some reason, took a dislike.
What was it about? Was I trying to wind him up or something? Because he was giving us the snooze, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's all I remember about. But it does ring a bell.
He just started saying...
He was pissed, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he just started trying to get you in an headlock and everything. And when Tommy Myra, hands like shovels, he's kind of like, I'm not getting out of this. And I was feeling for you. I was like, fucking hell, Brownie, I'm feeling for you down there.
You didn't jump in though, did you?
No. Go on, Tommy.
Yeah, give me that swan, I'll get you out of this.
I think you might have still had the hump from when you first signed.
Yeah, possibly. No, but he was all right, Tommy, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was sound. I think he was sound with us after.
Yeah.
But I do remember
him being
a bit...
I think he was a bit drunk, to be fair.
He was.
In fact, a lot drunk.
But you didn't want to talk about that, the Chiropodist story.
No.
Is this when you first signed?
Yeah.
That's what you're referring
Brownie
to.
Brownie stitched me up, didn't he? Well, listen, we didn't have Chiropodists at Stockport.
Well, there will have been some in Stockport, but they've never come into the club.
Yeah, but the pitches were like carpets at Sunderland and at training and that. And thinking, you know, feet are a bit sore. See lads going in this room, and I'm thinking, oh, wonder what that is there. Because there aren't many rooms that big, the training ground. And someone just starts shop at this if you ever want your feet doing or whatever. So I left it a couple of weeks, and I like them. First couple of days, you're not going in straight away, are you?
It's not big time basketball.
But I'm in swimming pool and jacuzzi afterwards. 5 minute sauna, 8.5 stone. What are you doing? Losing weight. Brownie. Well, it's up to you. You can tell it if you want. You stitch me up.
I think you just basically asked what went down, and I said, all right, Lol comes in. I think Lol was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lol.
He comes
in
every Thursday, but he's not getting paid by the club, unfortunately. So the lads normally just look after him, you know.
I don't think you said just look after him. You said give him money.
You've got to pay the bill.
Stop trying to dress it up there like just look after him. You said you got to give him some money. So I've gone in with a couple of quid.
It was a fiver, wasn't it?
I think it was a fiver.
You got him with 2 blisters and a fiver.
Well, I thought I might have even asked him how much he'd give him, and he's probably said a fiver. Because I would have gone and got cash out, and I got a £5 note out or something. I can't even remember.
Imagine how awkward that transition is. Like, you put your socks back on.
Oh, it was awkward. I remember him looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
treat yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, Brownie said, pay.
No, well, get yourself a drink. Yeah. Some of that.
No, I actually think I just went, listen, you've done a great job anyway.
I think he said, no, I'm employed by the club, Andy.
Yeah. And I went, I know that. Yeah. No, stitch me up and keep it there, mate.
Did you ever get in Harvey Mix?
A couple of bits, yeah. It was massive, wasn't it? Everyone would. It was honestly, he must have been a multimillionaire off that at the time.
I reckon he was earning more from that than his wage, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. But even stuff like that with music on in the morning, you know, there was a real good camaraderie. You know, Mickey Holland and the dressing room was. It was a huge, huge part, but testament to Mick McCarthy letting stuff like that kind of go on. Because I think a lot of managers probably, well, I know Keane didn't like him, did he?
He got rid of him,
didn't he? But, you know, I remember this, I think you've already told the story, haven't you, about Billy. I know he's...
Billy Wilson?
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
I know, yeah. But when we were down in Bath, when lads are taking pictures and pretending to be a bird.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Tell us more.
Oh, you don't know it?
No, I can't remember it. My memory's terrible.
So we're on the way down to Bath and obviously on the bus and Billy Wilson's saying that he was always on about birds, wasn't he? And like, you know, sometimes you think, you know, has he actually got these birds or whatever? So, he said, oh, I've got this fit one. And basically... one of the lads started messaging him saying that, you know, this is my new number, you know, I'm missing you and all that. I know you're away for the pre-season. So he's thinking, oh, you know, and she was like sending dirty messages. Obviously, it's one of the lads, but he's thinking, look at this. And he's showing her, he had a real pride, didn't he? Yeah. Showing everyone.
Couldn't wait. He'd come in and he had a big, big smile on his face. Hey, lads, couldn't wait to get his phone out.
A real pride.
No, he did. He honestly had a real, and you think, and when you were like cringing every time his phone beat, because he's going like that, and you're thinking, what's come through now? But I mean, I wasn't involved in it, but there was a young lad, what's his name?
Dan Smith.
And the lads started taking like pictures of him. He took his dick under his arse and it make it look like it's a fanny or whatever. And like just they get the angle right on a picture and then send this picture through. And obviously Billy gets you, fuck, oh, look at this, what she's just sent me.
So he's showing all yours.
Oh, he's showing everyone.
At dinner, you know, all the lads on different tables. He'd be going around every table.
Yeah. So it's like lunch and breakfast and everyone's like, geez, look at that. And, you know, she's like egging him on.
She's a belter.
More.
She's a belter.
Yeah, and then it just got to the point where obviously we were going to out it. The lads then outed it, and obviously I think we were on a balcony or something, weren't we?
Yeah, there was patio, weren't they?
A big reveal.
We're all getting in one picture, and as we're having dinner, we've sent the picture through and rang him or something. So as soon as he got it, we said, right, when he gets outside, hang up, and then the picture will deliver. So we're all there, we can see through this patio door, and he's hung up. And obviously the pitch has landed and he just started doing press-ups, hadn't he?
Oh, it was embarrassing, yeah.
Took a while to start with.
Fair play then.
Because
if you remember on the way back with Sleavesy, he nearly ripped Sleavesy's head off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I think Sleavesy made one joke too many. And I don't know if he got him by the neck, but he got right in his face.
He were angry.
First time it was funny and then just...
To be fair, if he's got that done press-ups and took it well to start with, fair play to him.
Oh, he took it unbelievably. Yeah, he did, to be fair. And,
there's still a dent in the pride, isn't there? Even though you're facing it up well.
Yeah.
And it keeps coming.
It's in the back of your mind, isn't it?
And he was a great fella, Billy, and I don't think he wouldn't mind us telling the story.
Great guy. But those are the stories that probably made the dressing room at the time.
Sunning through and through when he had
Could you tell we
tattoos.
Didn't have a manager at this point?
Oh, yeah, we didn't, did we? It was Pete Fryer. Physio took pre-season.
Yeah, him and Rico, yeah. But you're on about, going back to, you know, you said about building up and stuff like that, so... That summer, I'd decided I'm going to try and build myself up a little bit. So there was a guy, remember Ian Campbell?
Yeah. Megatonic. That's where I got the Megatonic from.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, well, this is, I started taking niche. I don't think I had Megatonic, like. I don't think it was that heavy.
That's why you never done so well.
Yeah, exactly. So I started doing, he said, right, come with me to the gym, and started doing loads of weights. And I put on a stone and a half.
Yeah, you got big, didn't you?
Yeah, well.
No, you did. You did. For
was
your,
it not
size?
Big? Yeah, I got big. I got
I'm
big.
Not,
yeah.
I'm not seeing Anthony yeah. Joshua. Yeah. Here, you know I
mean? Yeah, I got a big. Yeah. No, I felt I'd put a bit of weight, but it was all like it. One, I'd kind of not done any leg weights or anything, so my legs probably couldn't carry it. But I was struggling. I always remember we were struggling, and it was a. We went down, did the bleep test, and in Bath, it was like loads of testing in
Bath. Yeah, Bath University.
Kevin Kyle's beating me on a sprint test and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, fucking, listen, mate, is that testing right?
Remember, Lenny just come back from 4 days in Marbella.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Won it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, ridiculous. Disgusting anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm sure there was me, Lenny. There's a couple of others that were really good runners, weren't they? So, you know, pre-season, you were up there. but yeah, it wasn't a good feeling. So I'd kind of not like doing that, whether or not the protein shakes work well or...
Talking of Kyle, I've told this one about when he came in with his new set of Newtons.
Oh, my word. What, have you told it?
Well, not really. But I think I said it was you.
Sunderland.
It was remarkable, wasn't it?
Oh, it was... he had a whistle, didn't he?
For some reason, you perfected it.
I don't know if I can still... Sunderland. So we just... Oh, he hated it, didn't he? He hated it. And I
spent a fortune on these new set. But were they too big, or did he get too many in or something like that?
Too many.
I think he got one too many.
It was just a prize. Yeah. It was a prize for the whole team doing so. Fucking put as many as you can in. I want fucking 15 top and 19 bottom, yeah. Please. Get your money's worth.
They were big, weren't they?
Yeah, but we'd be in the massage room and we just hear you. Just talking it.
Kettle's bowled again.
Just wandering down and sorry, guys.
Has he still got them in there?
Yeah. I'd like to think he's had them chiseled down or something to fit.
Chiseled? Were they that big?
Someone wasn't right because he was just this massive whistle every time he spoke.
Oh, it was funny, wasn't it?
But, yeah, it was funny.
No, I don't think he liked it, though, did he?
No.
We would take
if you spent a few quid on your teeth and people then take it piss out, you're going to get a little bit, aren't you?
But
you've got to ask if they come with a whistle or without. I didn't ask for the ones with a whistle. What's happening here? He's back in, getting him fixed.
You know, when you arrived at Sunderland, were you know, you come from League One, pushing for Premier League, a lot of big names around. Were you apprehensive walking in? Were you confident walking in? Because, I mean, you got number 11 shirt straight away, aren't you, walking in?
Yeah, well, I demanded it, didn't I? No, to be fair, it was one of them things I didn't really think about what number I got. I was delighted I got it because I had that at Stockport anyway.
I bet you weren't expecting it.
Not really, to be honest. But anything
20 and below, you'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like your subs, aren't you? You're 12, 13.
What number were you?
20. Do you remember that?
I knew that, yeah. No, I remember. You know. Weird like that. I remember all squad numbers, 20, yeah.
Things you talk about, was he apprehensive, but there wasn't a lot of big names, really. No. I was saying about the young lads.
They ended up being big names.
Yeah, they went on to be, but at the time, there was a lot of lads who come from the... Mm. So probably must have made it easier for you.
Would you say best manager you've worked under, Mick?
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. Without a doubt.
He loved you, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I heard him on a podcast recently.
Yeah, I spoke to him. It was just when he went to, was it Cyprus?
Something like that.
So I hadn't spoke to him in years and thought, I'll give it, because I'd seen the podcast, I forget which one it was, but I give him a call and, you know, I had a chat and, oh, it's great to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. And I went, so how's it, you know, how long are you going to plan on staying there? Like, and he went, well, to be honest, Welsh, he went, the team in fourth have just gone on like a 10-game winning streak and the guy's just been sacked. So I'll be lucky if I'll be there in 2 weeks. Well, he's Cardiff manager now, isn't he? So he's not lasted that long. So it was definitely a suntan holiday, possibly. But he just took, I think he took Joe Garner out there just before he left, yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Garns is out
there.
Wigan.
Did he move through Wigan?
Yeah, so he's flying, but obviously Mick's back here.
I think he is one of them. Does any player that he's signed or worked under, he'd pick up the phone now? There's not a lot of managers
no.
would do that.
No, definitely
I don't think.
No.
Any chance of picking the phone up for him to get him on then, or what?
He's going to send us his number. We'll give him a ring after.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, she said you'll come on.
Who?
Interesting to know what you... Do you look back with pride, though? You know, to speak about the Premier League, you're thinking, you watch a match of the day, you think, I've played in that?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I think 16 appearances or something. Really enjoyed my time. Played against United and all the top teams and... That's what you want to do, isn't it?
Did Bawley play you? But when he because Mick left, yeah, it was so, about yeah, April really, time. Like, on
this
Mark.
Was a strange one because Mick sent me out on loan to Leicester, and again, this is for me. This I think he knew that Julio was going to be leaving, so what he pulled me in his office and he said, "Look, I know you've not been playing much recently, but you have played a lot this year. I want you to go and get a run of games because next year, you know, I think he'd already kind of."
Resigned to going down.
Yeah, because we
not just been back
we couldn't them. Get yeah, and we couldn't get a run together. So he'd said, "Look, go out and get some games. Leicester want you to go there and play." And they were like, "I think they were in the relegation zone in Championship at the time." I just thought, "Well, yeah, I'm going to go out and play." And I went there, played 10 games for Leicester, but literally after the first game, Sunderland played Man City away. And Mick got, I think he got sacked after that game, didn't he? And then Bawley was on the phone saying, "I can't recall you," but he wanted to bring me back off loan. Because for some reason, I always really got on with Bawley. So he was trying to call me back. And we had United away at Old Trafford. And I didn't get to play at Old Trafford. That was my only thing, really. I mean, I played against them at the Stadium of Light, but I would have loved to have played it at Old Trafford. So I never really got that opportunity. But came back off my loan at Leicester and there was still two Prem games left and Bawley played me in both of them. So
we're already down at this point.
Yeah, we're already down. I think they got relegated at Man United, didn't they?
We drew 0-0. And we needed, was it not Newcastle? Might even make, we played Newcastle on the Monday, if you remember.
Well, I wasn't there, I was in Leicester.
And we got the...
We're welcoming a new sponsor to the show today, gents.
Whoa, welcome on board.
IP Vanish. Do you know what it is?
Removal cream?
No, let me tell you. IP Vanish is the virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use your VPN on your computers, your tablets, your phones, and I think your Fire Sticks as well, on whatever media you're streaming. So all it does is it encrypts your data. Basically, the VPN, it kind of encrypts your data, no matter, you know, whatever you're reading, you're searching, you're watching, well, whatever you're doing.
For just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year, you can help protect your online privacy and security. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing.
You don't want people snooping, do you?
No, we don't. No. Nobody likes a snooper.
No.
No. Your business is your business.
Yeah. All you've got to do is go to ipvanish.com/kosh and claim your 65% saving. You've got plans starting from just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. So now's the time to sign up with the Under the Kosh discount. You can get VPN for just 65% off the usual offerings. VPN Vanish is the best of the best. Even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's vipvanish.com/kosh, and you get the deal and start protecting yourself today. So at what point did Mr. King come in?
Come back from Leicester, then we had the pre-season, and then we went on a... We didn't have a manager, did we?
No.
We went on a pre-season tour to Ireland, didn't we? For one a tour, really. Actually, we just flew out, played a game and came back. So. I'd done my ankle ligaments in the game. I'd got injured and then the season had started and I hadn't played a game. And the lads, I don't think they won at the bottom of the league.
Yeah,
after
we were
five
shit.
Games and... Then I remember I was on the way back, road to recovery type thing. I was in the ice bath and then Roy Keane pops round the corner with, I remember it was Cleggy at the time, so I already knew Michael Clegg, who was a strength and conditioning coach who came in, because I used to work with them back where I used to live. So straight away I'm thinking, oh, I'm in here, you know.
Yeah.
If he's bringing Cleggy in, you know.
Is he a hero or not?
Oh, without a doubt. Big fan. Looking forward to working. So came back from fitness, still not really said much. And then we went to Portugal, and I was just kind of getting back then from that, you know, when we went to Portugal. I think that was on the international break.
Was this the water park?
The water park one, yeah. That's when he showed his true colours, I thought, going down them flipping slides.
Yeah, it wasn't even. I'll tell you the funniest one about that was Dave Connolly. Bus is about to leave, and everyone's like, where's Dave in? No one knew where Dave Connolly was. We're going for a Chinese or something, weren't we? The club would be. And Dave comes on. Oh, you can hear it from the bus. And you're thinking, what's going on? Dave comes walking off. Cheers. Starts having a go at all lads. He's only just come in, hasn't he? And he starts going, you know, no one's told me, blah, blah. Starts having a go, and starts having a go at the gaffer as well. And but he's laughing. Roy Keane's laughing. So you're thinking at this point, he'll have a bit of banter about him. And
I forgot about that. Yeah. Didn't he have to pay for the Chinese or something?
He had to pay for the Chinese. But he didn't pay for it, did he?
No, he spat his dummy out.
Refused.
Massively. Yeah. Refused.
He was like that, Dave, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. And
I'd ordered everything expensive.
Yeah, you do, don't
I mean,
you?
I tell you what, that was a worrying one when I first joined Sunderland. First week we were there, we went out for a meal, and George McCartney and Wright had had a red card. So when you had a red card under Mick, you had to take all players out for a meal and pay for it. And all
that. When you get menu as well, you don't even look at the what it says. You just go down the numbers, don't you? 27 quid, rump steak.
It was disgusting. Because he's been barred from Chinese, hasn't he? Chinese buffets.
The buffets,
yeah.
Bad.
Has he not told you this one?
No.
So we used to go for a Chinese buffet every now and again after training in Sunderland, and all sat there, you know, you go up and you get your plate, you come back, and obviously he'd been up about 10 times. We were taking the piss, to be fair.
I was hungry.
Oh, you could eat.
I know, but we'd been there 5 minutes. And he comes back and he goes, lads, puts his plate down. I'm going to have to go. What's he on about? I'm not allowed to eat anymore. I've had too much, apparently. And he got back from the Chinese buffet. So we didn't go back. They were like, leave. What are you going to eat now, Brownie? You've had yours.
I can't remember what the reason was. I don't know.
I've told you before, I eat some more than me.
I just, honestly, to this day, I've never seen anyone get barred from an all-you-can-eat buffet.
There must be some big old units going in all, won't there?
Yeah. I just used to sit there sweating.
Yeah.
Just every single course, just ploughing it in. And
chicken skewer in one hand, fork in the other.
I think the manager just had enough. And I wasn't welcome back.
Yeah. Went off track there, didn't we?
Well, we've said it numerous times. Meet your heroes, never meet your heroes, they say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great time for me, that, at Sunderland, to be honest, when he came in. Because like I said, I was coming back from injury, and as soon as he came in, he signed, and he did great for the club. I go on about it again, resilient and resentment. I didn't resent the fact that Ross Wallace and Tobias Hussain came in, because they were doing fantastic for the club, played really well, and the club still won the league from the position they were in. But there is also a part of me that feels I could have been part of it. I just wasn't given opportunity. You know, I just didn't feel like my face was going to fit. And I went on loan to Leicester again. So I went on loan till Christmas, and came back off my loan from there. And I remember me and my missus got back to Sunderland that night, and I got a phone call from my uncle, who was bringing my grandpa back down from Scotland. And my grandpa had a heart attack, and he had to go to Carlisle Hospital. So I shot over from Sunderland to the hospital, because he was...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
you know, really close to my grandpa and that. And, you know, called Keane. He said, well, look, I need you back at training because you're going to be involved. Now, I've just come back off a loan from Leicester. I've not been involved. The lads are flying. I've gone to see him. I've explained the situation. And he's gone, well, do you want to be involved at this football club? That's what I'm asking you. I said, well, no, what I'm saying is, funnily enough, the next game was Leicester away. I've said, I'm not saying I'm not involved, but I've been away on loan for the last 3 months. I'm not going to be, well, yeah, you are. You're going to be involved. So he put me in the squad for the Leicester game. And my grandpa was really ill. Anyway, when, you know, I had to deal with that. We went to Leicester and we beat Leicester, I think 2-0. I didn't come on and my grandpa ended up passing away. And I, for me, that was, he knew the background of what was going on. And I wasn't in the squad the next game. And for me, that pissed me off.
Oh, that, I think that's me. I'm really, like, really fucking out. I'm not whether it's Roy Keane or fucking Nelson Mandela. I'm going in and fucking battering him for that.
Do you think if you hadn't gone to him, you'd have been in that Leicester squad?
No. No, because I would, but I had to be honest about the situation of what was going on. You know, my grandpa's, you know, in Carlisle, and you know, I don't know how close other people are to their grandparents, but my grandpa came to every single game of mine. You know, all my family's Glaswegian, so I mean, God bless him. He'd go up and chat with Mick McCarthy after games and stuff like that. you know, as though he knew him, and he'd, you know, he'd talk to me like he knew Alex Ferguson. He'd go, you know, Alec. So, you know, he was a big part. You know, my uncle was a professional footballer as well up in Scotland. And so my family was, you know, massive on foot, and he was a big part of my football as well. So whether or not Roy Keane knew what he was doing, I'd like to think he didn't, but it just seemed a little bit strange that I've not been part of something for 3 months, then I go away and I have to stay in a hotel overnight on New Year's Day. On New Year's Eve to play against Leicester on New Year's Day. And I mean, we won 2-0 and I didn't even get on. It didn't even look like I was getting on.
Is it hard not to hold a grudge?
I struggled, yeah. I did struggle. But I mean, I've always been one of them players who wants to play football. And I can't sit there and not play football. Hence why, you know, I went out on loan. But then I said to myself, right, I'm just going to give it a go. And, you know, there was a bomb squad of me, Kenny Cunningham, Clive Clark, Stephen Wright, Rory Delap. You know, there was quite a few of us that weren't involved, but it was just, I thought I'll give it a go. And I just, after a month, you're like, I'm not getting anywhere near here. And you don't want to build up. I don't want to be that player that's going into training when the lads are, you know, flying and being, you know, you want to be playing yourself. So it was just one of them things that, I just felt like my time was up there.
Were your contract running out as well?
No, I'd just signed a new 3-year deal.
So was that quitting to give you that? All bad.
Well, obviously I moved to Toronto after this.
Yeah.
So I remember going into Roy Keane. This was one of the first meetings after, you know, what had happened. And I'd gone in and, he'd pulled me and he'd said, look, there's a few clubs coming on loan to you. And I knew that there was some that were wanting to sign me. But he'd just gone Plymouth, you know, like the furthest away, Dunfermline. And I'm thinking, no disrespect to them clubs, but at the time I didn't want to travel like a ridiculous. Yeah. I either wanted to go somewhere and go permanently.
Take the cat. The cats needed to be settled.
Needed to be settled, mate. Yeah. What happened was, I just said, look, I'll just sit tight. And then my agent said, look, Toronto would be interested in signing you.
How old are you at this point?
I think it was 23, 24, yeah. Something like that. And then one of the players that I knew that was at Sunderland previously, Carl Robinson, he just signed there. So he'd got on the phone to me. He said, "Look, you know, why don't you come? You need to play." And
so Plymouth and Dunfermline are too far. Fuck it, yeah. I'll go to Toronto.
I know. Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, I want having it. I, first of all, I'm thinking I ain't doing that.
It's pretty cold there and all, isn't it?
Oh my! So they invited me out to look at the club. Landed and it was minus 19. Right.
The cats are going to be freezing.
But bear in mind, you've just been complaining this conservatory's too cold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's warmer now, though. We went the reason I went over there is because I wasn't involved at Sunderland at the time. Obviously, a couple of moves I weren't interested in. So they invited me out, so I thought, I'll just push the boat out money-wise. And obviously, I said, right, I want that. And he said he couldn't do it. And I kind of knew they weren't going to do it. And I'm thinking, well, may as well have tried my luck. Happy days. So I just said to the missus, you know, we'll just enjoy the next 3 or 4 days then. And we're out, you know, we're in Toronto just having tea and toast and things like that. And, you know, flew back and then that was it. You know, nothing was really happening for a couple of days. And then Toronto called back up and they went, we'll give you what you want. And I'm thinking, decision to make here. So I thought, do you know what? Speak with Mrs. and we decided we're going to give it a go. So obviously went into Roy Keane and I wasn't going to just walk away from my contract. So I've gone in and say, you know, remember where the office used to be? So he's sat in front of you there, the door's there. So I've sat down and from probably minute one, it's just a tirade of abuse on me. Right, because obviously I've turned down these other clubs and apparently made him look silly and things like that. And I've just gone, look, I'm not here to be spoken to like that. I've come to you because, you know, I'm contracted with the club. So if it's going to be like this, I'd rather just leave it at that. So I've gone like that to get up and he's gone, sit the fuck down. And I've gone, and he started walking around the table. On opposite doors there, and he started walking around the table and he's gone, don't know who you think you are, but you're not fucking walking out on me, I'm walking out on you. And he walked out and that was the last time I spoke to him. That were it. So I just sat there, gathered my thoughts for 10 seconds.
What are you doing that situation?
And just thought, well, all right, I think that's dead in water then. You know,
I think I'm tampering with his desk, I think. Yeah. Summit.
Listen, Niall Quinn was brilliant. Niall Quinn, you know, a lot of respect for him. He ended up sorting everything out for me and he was fantastic. He sorted, you know, he helped everything go through smoothly. And the main thing is I was back playing football in Toronto, albeit, you know, the other side of the world. I love different experiences as well. And, you know, coming into management now, I think that has helped me to understand players as well. Mm-hmm. Having different types of managers. You know, from your Carlton Palmers to Sammy McElroy, you know, Andy Kilner, my first manager, Mick McCarthy, Roy Keane, Brian Laws, all these have probably helped shape me in the way that I want to be as a manager as well.
So, you know, when you go to Toronto then, they've just formed as a club, is that right?
Yeah, first ever season, yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, it was a great experience because you're playing at, like, at Arrowhead Stadium, which is a 90,000-seater stadium, but, I mean, there's only about 20 in it, and it looks empty, but, but yeah, it was not a great experience. So, you know, played against some top players over there. Juan Pablo Anguilla just signed out there, but it was Beckham's first season. Some top, top players, yeah.
And it's kicked on, hasn't it, that league?
Massively, yeah.
You know, Bradley Orr went out there,
yeah,
and he said, it's an unbelievable place to live.
Toronto's beautiful.
For a night out and what have you.
Oh, well, we lived, I had like a duplex apartment in front of the CN Tower with cats. The cats were there. So they were looking out over. Yeah, no, well, obviously Brownie's mentioned it, but yeah, my cats used to come everywhere with me. So we not with us now, like, yeah, they always kind of came to every club to help me and the missus sell.
That little mascot.
Yeah, so we had to fly him out to Toronto and... But yeah, the funny thing was, I actually bought a house in Toronto and we never, and for the reason so the cats could get outside because he'd lived in an apartment for like 8-9 months. And then by the time we completed on the house, I'd signed for Blackpool and we're back over the road.
Cats still in quarantine.
Felix,
So yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare, that one, I think. So we didn't even get to live in the house.
So how long were you there in total?
I think it was about 10 months or something. Yeah, so I played just short of a full season, because by the time our season were coming to an end, the season was starting in England. And if truth be told, probably looking back at it, was I too young to come out? Possibly, but I still felt as though I wanted to play in England, and I felt a little bit annoyed at the way it got left.
Do you think to yourself, if I leave it much longer, I can get forgotten? I can easily get forgotten about over there.
Massively, yeah, and I think that inevitably that is what happened, because I didn't play. Because I was injured my last season at Sunderland for the part of it, I didn't really play. Mm. And then if you think I then went to Toronto, that's near enough 2 years that I've not really played in English football at that point.
So you have something to prove?
At 24, yeah. 25, yeah. 24,
25. Yeah, yeah.
You fall
yeah.
off the radar quickly, don't you?
Definitely, yeah.
When you listed the managers that you take stuff from into your management career, you didn't mention Grayson.
No, I mean, I think the one way... Simon Grayson was more the fact that he kind of convinced me to leave Toronto to go to Blackpool, which people might look at that and go, why have you done that anyway?
But,
yeah, but again, because
so Blackpool,
there's no donkey ride in Toronto, yeah, is there?
Well, he sold the donkeys to me. You can have a ride on Rambo once a week. So yeah, he just said, obviously, we're in the Championship. And I know managers say, oh, you'll play week in, week out. And, you know, you get sucked in by it all. And
we're having a real go this year.
We're having a real go. Yeah, they always say that, don't they? So we're having a go this year. So, you know, he said, you know, 2-year deal. But I'd signed. In the MLS, you have to sign in and out of the league because you're actually owned by the league. So I couldn't go and sign with Blackpool unless I signed out of the league. You know, the deal was done. And to be fair, my agent has a little bit to do on this as well, but I'd agreed a 2-year deal with Blackpool. And then I turned up at Blackpool. The deal was a 1 year with a 1-year option. So obviously I've said to, you know, the chairman's, that chairman who messed the club about a lot. And, you know, obviously I'd said,
did he move the goalposts on arrival?
On arrival, yeah. So obviously I'd said, well, basically sign me deal out of the MLS now. And you'd said that. But again, this is probably where my agent should have had something in writing to prove that it was a 2-year deal. And it just didn't get going. And you know, you'd want to see him and he'd dive out a back door.
Grayson?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, you know... Can have a word we have to train, and I didn't know there was a trap door in his office. I'm there watching that office door like that.
It never comes out.
He is coming out in a minute, and he's through trap door and in his car. Oh, I forgot. You know, you call him and on the phone, and you I forgot. Sorry, I had something on, and it got to the stage where I was like, look, I'm on the bench a lot. I'm not playing a lot, and not only that, you've done me with my deal. What's going on?
Did you end up having to sign the 1 year with the 1 year extension?
Well, I had to, yeah. I didn't have any other option. Yeah. So, it was frustrating. And you start thinking, well, you know, what have I done at this point? And again, I felt when I went in at Blackpool, when I played, I'd done well and, you know, got quite a few assists when I played. But, you know, we had, again, there's no resentment there because there's some top players. But it was just frustrating that, you know, I weren't given an opportunity because I'd left somewhere in Toronto where I'd finally got playing week in, week out to come back and go, right, I'm going to give it I'm back in the Championship.
Were you
again.
Enjoying life in Toronto?
Yeah.
Like settling in. But did you feel like you wanted to come back just to prove that you want to play in English football again?
To this day, I still don't know what was going through my head when I thought I'll come back. Because, like I said before, I'd literally just bought a house in Toronto.
Right.
So I still had...
So it wasn't like you weren't settling in and you want to come back home?
No. My missus, for her to do... She was never one of these that wanted to just sit around doing nothing. So we had to get her a work permit and you know, she worked in a clothes shop because she wanted to meet people and socialise. Yeah.
You don't even know if cats are going to enjoy it because they're still in quarantine.
Well, the cats loved it.
Yeah. Love it bouncing about.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. you know, they were just looking forward to being out again. But I think it was frustrating because I never, you know, I felt at home in Toronto, but then there was just something in me that said, no, you need to go home. You need to go and sign this deal and you're back playing in the championship. And it was a wrong decision.
Do we know in the MLS, do a lot of people, players move between clubs?
Yeah, so again, that, yeah, thinking so back.
Do you think you're 24, you think you could have had a good 10, 12 years career in the MLS?
Possibly, yeah. Way. I mean, the only thing what I didn't like about the MLS, and I found this out, is that you have like a guaranteed contract and a semi-guaranteed contract. So I was on a guaranteed contract, but you're owned by the league. So if they want to trade you, as they call it, you haven't got a say.
Right.
So even if they did
pack
do,
up.
Cats, see you later. We're going to Salt Lake City. What? Yeah. We're going to have to drive. I just kind of didn't like the thought of that because we'd just bought a house. Whether I don't think I thought too much of that, but that was a, you know, I was aware of that. Mm. But I did think, you know, I'd rather go back to England because it is the home of football, in my opinion.
Did Blackpool not take up the 1 year extension?
Well, in the end, I hadn't played that much and
the
I wasn't.
Fallout.
I just, no, there wasn't, but I wasn't happy with the way. I'm not going to stay somewhere when I've been.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, and you know, it was a case of, you know, went in and, you know, not played much this year. I went, yeah, no, you know, and it was just like that. And I just said, yeah, all the best, see you later. And, you know, I was off. And then I ended up signing down at Yeovil, which, again, cats romp move.
That's what you must have gotten the love back for it, though, because I think you enjoyed Yeovil. I remember speaking to you at the time.
Really? Yeah, I did. And that was. Whether or not it's because there's not a lot there, you just get your head down and start playing. And I was playing week in, week out. I think in 3 years I made 130-odd appearances. So, you know, very rarely missed a game. And that's what it was about for me. You know, it was Russell Slade who took me in. And I never forget this. I was number 9.
Oh.
I had Lloyd Owusu, who's old.
Other side, Lloyd, the big dog's in town.
So, fun. Again, a funny story of this is... I hadn't, the kind of whole, that summer was the strangest summer. I turned down a deal at St Mirren because I didn't want to move up north and I didn't have anything. So Sammy McElroy calls me up and says, look, manager at Morecambe, why don't you just come in and train with us? So I thought, you know what, I'm not too proud. I'd rather keep myself ticking over till something pops up. So went in training, first day he's trying to sign me. And I'm like, look, no, I'm just waiting. And then obviously Yeovil popped up and Yeovil offered me something and said, no, I need more than that. And then they got rid of Lloyd Owusu. So it was literally I went in and filled Lloyd Owusu's shirt. Number 9, there you go, see you later.
I bet they had to change the shirt, didn't they? I bet were a bit baggy on your Lloyd's.
Very baggy, but do you know what? I felt so bad for Sammy McElroy, though, because he tried everything to sign me. No, honestly, God's honest truth.
Can't hit like that.
Yeah.
They love it here, look.
Yeah, yeah. I know, yeah. So I was training with Morecambe and he's saying, look, you know, I can get you we've got you your deal. And I've said, look, Sammy, I don't, you know, I'm not going to sign. And I said, if I did, I'd need this sort of money. He went, well, I mean, what if I don't buy the players a sandwich every day and give you that money? And I'm like,
I'd have fucking hit him.
Look at him, he's there, that bastard. Yeah. We used to have a bacon and eggs.
It's good job Brownie won. So I'm like, Sammy, you know, I can't do it, but, you know, he was trying everything and he nearly got me. Right, honestly, because it was transferred and it was transfer deadline day. Yeovil hadn't come back in with this other offer, so I thought, I need to play. You know, when the manager wants you so much, you'd rather play for a manager that wants you than kind of. So I thought, right, let's do it. So we're doing 7-a-sides, like on a Friday. And I'm just on side, you know, where there's a bounce play and the lads are playing at middle. And Sammy McElroy's like, well, your agent's on the phone. So I'm on the sideline with a phone like that. like this. And he's saying, no, you need to get it done now. And right, well, just give us a sec. Well, obviously, we've finished. And he's like trying to get me to sign when I'm on side, popping it. So we left. We left. He said, follow me to the ground and we'll get it all signed. Followed him to the ground. And my agent called up. He said, look, Yeovil have come back in with more money than you first wanted. And they've offered you the deal that you wanted. They've, obviously, Lloyd Owusu's moved on. What do you want to do? So, obviously, put the handbrake on and spun back the other way.
Still getting your sandwich. No, but
the funny thing was, it didn't happen that quick. I was sat in a car park at Curry's, just in like Lancaster, speaking with my agent and getting things sorted. And Sammy McElroy, because I was following the minibus back to the ground, he's like, where are you, Welshie?
Oh, you just dusted off? Like,
yeah.
He's gone.
He were calling me phone and I felt bad because I didn't want to say what was going on. But obviously I had to call him and say, look, Sammy, you know, I lost you. You spun off.
Sammy, you fucking skipped a red light, Sammy.
Deal's off.
Yeah.
I'm not playing
I'm
for somebody
who drives. I'm back at Blackpool.
I'm not playing for somebody who drives as erratically as that, Sammy.
But, he, you know, what a guy.
Were you all right with that? Were you all right with it?
Do you know what? And I spoke to him when I was at Bristol Services. And no, he was. He said, totally understand. He said, you need to play as high up as long as possible. He said, I just would have loved to have signed you because, you know, obviously I sold you from Stockport to Sunderland. It would have been great to work with you again.
I was slayed.
Bit of a strange character at times, though. Yeah, I remember he brought me in, and again, it was one of them situations where I started playing under him a lot, and then left me out a couple of games, and it coincided with a bit of a rough patch for him. But I think he kind of started blaming it on a couple of players, and as a winger, you're always going to get blamed for stuff, aren't you? And, you know, he left me out of a game and I'd played the majority of the previous game. So you're well within your rights to go and ask, why aren't I playing? So he was fine about it. Match day comes, I'm on bench. So I'm just sat there and he's called the starting 11 out of the dressing room. So, you know, us as subs, we're sitting there, fucking hell. Does he not want us like? And we're
us and them.
So anyway, they come back in. I think it was, Nathan Jones and Terry Skiverton at the time. They were still playing. They come back in. Fucking hell, what you said to him. And I've gone, what he's on about, guys? And everyone's gone, we've just had a dressing down about you in there. And they've gone, I've gone, what do you mean? He said, yeah, he said, basically, well, she's coming in asking why he's not playing. Yous need to show him today, otherwise I've made the wrong decision.
Oh, it's on your show.
You had to drive.
I came on after 30 minutes.
Job done. I feel like that was the last.
Right in his head. So, but I got on all right with Russell Slade.
Did you play with a loose cannon?
Loose cannon.
Gaz Roberts.
Wow, yeah, Robbo. You were meant to be a young lad. He looked about 28.
He looks about fucking 120.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, top player. I mean, but just, I think he was one of them that was just loved the game, but just didn't know how to actually live his life outside of the game. You know, I don't know if anyone knows a story regarding, we played Leicester at home and he mentioned about his, he'd gone AWOL basically. No one knew where he was, so we're thinking, where's Robbo? And someone said, oh, we've heard that his mum's not too well, or I don't know if he'd said that she died or she'd passed away or something. It's harsh, but something had gone on and everyone were a bit somber about it. And then you're hearing stories that the chairman's giving him money for an headstone or something like that. And then it turned out nothing had kind of gone on. You're thinking, this is a bit strange. And then he'd come in half cut sometimes and all the ability in the world. But just, could anyone get a grip of him? Probably not. I know Luke, I forget his name now.
Rogers.
Luke Rogers, you know, really, really tried to look after him. But it just didn't happen. But he's one of them that had the potential to go on and play anywhere.
Yeah. That's why the amount of people that have said that.
But he could go and walk into any team. He's that much ability.
Yeah.
And he could be the best player in any team at any level.
Mm.
I rated him that highly, but it was just, you know,
sad, really.
It is, yeah, it is. It is.
I
Our good friends at HelloFresh are back.
Perfect.
Once again, and they've upped the ante. They've upped the ante. 60% off your first box and 35% off your next three when you sign up at HelloFresh.co.uk and use the code COSH.
You're not far off eating for free, are you? 60% off?
60% off your first box.
Excellent value.
You might as well go big then, ain't you? First one. First one up.
Get
big.
The good stuff in.
Yeah.
Well, for all you regular listeners, you'll be down with the fresh. As we are.
Down with the fresh.
Down with the fresh. Well, we're accustomed now, aren't we? We're on second name terms. But for all you newcomers, HelloFresh provides all the fresh seasonal ingredients and step-by-step recipe cards to cook delicious dinners at home. And they deliver straight to your door, aren't they?
It's very good.
I were never a good cook, really. I didn't really know what to put in. But everything just comes, doesn't it?
We're now passionate cookers, aren't we? We cook with
passionate what?
Passionate cookers. We cook with passion.
When you said passionate, I didn't quite hear you when you said cookers.
But we're obviously passionate lovers, but we're passionate cookers now.
Yeah, that? And as you say, just everything comes, job done.
All the instructions, step by step. They've got a nice variety as well. They've got their extra rapid meals, cooked in 20 minutes or less. I think they've even got extra rapid meals now, 10 minutes.
Mm. The low-calorie stuff. Coming out of lockdown, you want to get that June body ready.
Yeah.
Low calorie for a couple of weeks. You'll be a
the
new
June
man or woman.
Body.
And this month, you'll like this, John. It's roast month.
Oh.
They've got some specials on the roast and brunch.
I'm very, very, very excited about the roast month.
Oh, it's a perfect way to celebrate with loved ones. We're creating a traditional family feast, obviously. I think, what is it? Two households, maximum of 30. Whatever Boris said.
Yeah.
You can have around for tea, but there's nothing better when you go around for Sunday lunch and you're like, oof.
Something outside the box?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, what have you done to these potatoes?
I put bacon in with my sprouts. Do they do that?
Oh, I imagine they do. And then you can just, old family recipe.
Yeah.
Old family recipe. I can't tell you.
Secret it is.
And you've got brunch as well. This week, I had one last week.
What's your favourite brunch?
I'll tell you what I had this week. Halloumi wrapped in pancetta, I think it was, with a chilli jam.
Now, yeah, that's what that makes it.
Mamma
for me.
Mia.
See that?
It's a little touch, isn't it?
I think I could get into brunch if that means I'm only having six meals a day.
Down with the fresh.
Get down with the fresh with the code COSH when you go to www.hellofresh.co.uk. We're looking after you.
This is changing people's diets, not mind changing people's lives.
Would you say you were happy again, the Oval?
Yeah, definitely. You always are when you're playing, aren't you?
Settled.
Yeah.
Cats have got a garden to run around in.
Cats have got a little garden there, happy. You've met some other moggies down there. it's definitely settled. And the main thing was that you're playing week in, week out again. And as a footballer, that's all you want to be doing. And I think, you know, going back to my time at Blackpool, the amount of players that were there that you think we're good and some of them weren't playing. I remember he brought Holt in, so Grant Holt, and at the time he was not struggling at Forest but weren't getting a game, came into Blackpool. I don't think he played that much at Blackpool. And then the next time I saw him, he'd signed at Norwich and he just went like that, you know, career-wise.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes what it can do, you know, just a change of scenery. Yeah. And he ends up playing in the Premier League and, you know, I'm fortunate enough that in my career, I probably did a lot early on. And then, you know, after that, I'm not saying it went downhill, but I just probably didn't make the right decisions on moves or was unlucky. Well, and then things happen in football, but I still had a great career.
Just shows you like what managers, playing under a good manager can
right
do.
Manager.
Talking about Holtley signing with Lambert. Will Albie signed for Lambert. Took him to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Luke Ayling, he played under a few managers at Leeds. Just a middle average championship team.
Yeah, yeah.
Bielsa comes in and they're playing he's standing out in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm going to stay up comfortably.
Yeah. Like managers can, you just need that bit of luck.
Right, purring.
Yeah.
You went to Carlisle after Yeovil. Did you fancy staying?
I did, yeah, but again, got told they were having a go.
Carlisle were
having a go, yeah. So
the option to stay at Yeovil?
Yeah, so I'd got offered another couple of years at Yeovil under Skivo, and to be fair to Skivo and Jonesy, absolutely loved working under him. But we just had my first child Lily at the time, and you know, just felt it was a, you know, good time to try and get a bit for, well, a little bit closer to home. Still probably about 2 hours from Manchester to Carlisle, but at least my mum and dad would have been closer, a little bit of help and things like that. So, you know, made that move and started off all right there. And then I tore my calf about, I think it was 2.5 months into the season. So it's quite a big tear as well. So it put me out till Christmas. But when I tore my calf, it was a strange one, because just before that, me and Greg had had probably a couple of words about a game or something. Not a fallout, but you have disagreements or what have you. You know, so it probably couldn't have come at a worse time, that injury, because you always think that a manager's got that in the back of their head.
Stewing in his head for you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, but then the physio goes, oh, you may as well get yourself off on holiday for a couple of weeks, because you literally can't do anything. So me and the missus went to Egypt with Little, and didn't we?
Went to Egypt?
Yeah, so we came back.
Bet you visited Sphinx.
Yeah, so we came back.
Lord, and King of the Cats.
So we came back, and Greg, we were a bit off with me, like, and I'm thinking, he went, oh, you know, you've been on holiday, have you? And I went, well, physio said I could go. I've still got text message on my phone, and, you know, I had spoke to him previously, but, and I don't know whether he was half having a laugh or what, but it just didn't seem right from that point onwards. And then, you know, got back in the team after Christmas, and then it was kind of like in and out. And again, it was gone from a situation where you were playing week in, week out for 3 years to something just don't feel right again. And end at season, I get a call from Jonesy. We was on holiday in Spain, in Marbella at the time. And he says, Phil Parkinson wants to sign you at Bradford. Would you be interested? I went, well, I've got a year left on my contract here at Carlisle. Obviously, if he wants to speak to me, you know, just tell him, yeah, I'd be interested, but clear it with Greg first or what have you. Phil Parkinson calls me up. He's selling Dream. We're having a go.
You get 18,000
yeah,
a week.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, he said, you know, why don't you come and meet me when you're back? I said, well, as long as you've cleared it with Greg and everything, not a problem. Next minute, I've checked my phone and I've not had a missed call, but I've got a voicemail. Listen to the voicemail. Greg Abbott's effing and jeffing down phone saying, can't believe you're speaking to other clubs while you're under contract and that. Tried calling him back, can't get hold of him. Tried him 2 or 3 times, not got back. And sent him a text message, didn't get anything back. So I'm thinking, what do we do here? Do I go and speak with Bradford or
another big club as well?
Yeah, and then in the end, he said, if you want to speak to him, entirely up to you. So I went and spoke with him, and Phil Parkinson selling me the dream, and then he offered me a deal. Right, he went, can't get hold of the chairman right now, Andy, but I'll give you a call in a bit, and we'll get it all finalised. Never got a call. Right? Never got a call. So I'm thinking, right, I'm away from Carl. Greg's annoyed with me for, you know, whatever reason it was. And I've had to go back in pre-season. So I think I've got to get my head down here and graft through this.
By the way, you're thinking, I'm an ant's cock away from signing for Bradford. Oh, I've just waited on a phone call.
Yeah.
It's not the first time we've heard it from him, is it?
Parkinson, no.
Oh, he's not even called me back.
He just didn't ring
you. Not even called me back. Me and the missus have a laugh about it still to this day.
Check your phone, he might ring you now.
Yeah, me and the missus have a laugh about it still to this day. Like, I'll call, hi Phil, it's Andy, just wondering if you got my message.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. Did you try ringing him?
No, that's what I'm saying, I did. I tried calling him just to say,
he just didn't pick your phone up?
Never got back to me.
See, I'm leaving him.
So he's thinking, right, I'll just shit stir there a little bit, and you know, I don't know what's gone on, but you know, I've not ended up signing there, and I've had to go back to Carlisle, and again, you know, I've gone back pre-season and I've blasted the running, I've done everything professionally. It's not like I've never been a bad egg anywhere I've gone. It's just a case of, you know, all I've wanted to do is play and feel wanted as a player, and that's all you want, really, isn't it? So
that's,
yeah,
madness, man.
But I have heard that a couple of times regarding Phil Parkinson.
Yeah. I wonder how many times he gets that phone call and he must get loads of them.
Just answer it.
Just answer it and say, sorry, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He must get 10, 20 phone calls pre-season where he's like, oh, can't answer that one.
I don't get that, though, that you would go to a club about a contracted player and go to the, you know,
all that trouble.
I went to Valley Parade and everything. I bought
What were the guy who...
I bought a club West tie.
Fucking Odu Wengi.
Yeah, Odu Wengi. Yeah, no, I'd gone to Valley Parade and, you know, looking out over the pitch and, you know, selling the dream. You know, how full the ground will be and they're having a go. So
I'm baffled here.
Maybe he just likes you know, bringing people round and teasing everybody.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a sense of humour, like, I've sucked another one in there.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Another one, saw the dream.
To his missus.
Got on with the tie.
And sink at this one.
Here he's calling again.
Answer that, love. No, in fact, don't answer it.
He's lasted
weird.
Longer than anyone else, this one.
This one.
Three and a half years and he's still fucking with it. Yeah.
37 ties I've given away this pre-season.
I know.
Mad.
Scunthorpe after Carlisle.
Scunny, yeah. Brian Laws signed me there. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't hang about. He was straight in there. Season finished, straight on the phone. Come and meet me at Glanford Park. So cats are all over the gaffer. No, they didn't go. We didn't. We're living in Yorkshire at this point, so I was travelling to places. But yeah, you know, Brian Laws signed me there. And, you know, good experience in the game with what he's done as a player and, you know, as a manager as well. So they'd been relegated to League Two at that point, and obviously favourites to go up. So we actually won League Two that year. But I think I got I had an injury after about 3.5 months. I had to have a knee operation and. At that point, I'd just kind of fallen out of love with the game. You know, when you...
I can understand that, because you've had a bit of a rough deal with sounds of it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things that you might have one, maybe two happen in your career. Mm. You've had five or six.
Kicks in the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what led me to, after that season, I just thought, we've travelled around a lot. Cats are looking weary.
The cats have not got another move in them.
No.
Got another move.
Yeah. And... I had that knee operation and then it came back and, you know, the lads were flying. We won the league that year, got promoted, and it was just a one-year deal for me. And the trigger for me to get a new deal was something like 20 appearances. I was already on like 8 or 9 when I got injured something. And I just couldn't get back in the team at that point. And obviously,
been so well.
It was just one of them. You know, I moved on and...
Were you thinking to yourself, I hope they start having a bit of a sticky patch here?
No.
I need to go back in.
Yeah, not really, because, you know, you get a bonus for promotion as well. So on that side of it, you're going to, and again, going on, they're your mates in the dressing room. You want them to do well. And that's what being a teammate is all about.
They're not going to pay your bills, are they?
No, they're not. But, you know, you want to have memories of being part of dressing rooms that win stuff. I've been part of dressing rooms that's won stuff. You know, been relegated or been mid-table. So I've had all them types of experiences, but it's always good to look back on, you know, the good times. And again, that's kind of what I take into the management side. Now you can kind of see, you know, the Sunderland dressing room and the Scunthorpe dressing room, it had good characters in. And you see those types of characters on how you can win games, what is going to be a team that will win a league or be close to winning a league. And 9 times out of 10, it's honesty and hard work and characters. So, you know, you try and that's why, I've not looked back on that journey as a bad one, really, with Scunthorpe.
So obviously now a Bury manager. Is that something that you look for? Do you look into the player's character, even at a lower level?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm doing the hard yards right now. You know, started at Ossett, bit of a baptism of fire as a manager there. Then I left there and I've obviously come to Bury and, you know, top at league and the season's been null and void.
Fucking hell, man.
So,
what were your thought process going for the job? Because that's some task, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we talk about managers getting rid of players and bringing their own in. You basically didn't have any players. That's a blank canvas.
3 weeks to get a team sorted.
So you got the job. Your first game's in 3 weeks and you've no players.
Nothing at all, no. And worst thing about it was BBC were following every step. So I'm thinking this first game, please, but you know, don't lose it. But we just weren't ready for it. I mean, we lost 2-1. It was in the FA Trophy. Was it the Trophy or the Vase? Not the Vase. But yeah, we got a squad together, and probably I think out of that team there was seven of them that haven't played again after that game. Not through.
We'll call you.
Yeah, yeah. Not. No, it's just
that I'm in a Parkinson.
Yeah, yeah.
What time are meeting? I'll let you know what time training is.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Do you know with stuff like that? I'd never again. I'd like to be known more as a McCarthy type character and honest with the players, and you know, I'd rather face things head on than hide behind something and let them work it out themselves, if you like. But you know, the Bury one, certainly getting players ready for a game in 3 weeks was very interesting. But again, great experience, and hopefully, you know, in years to come, people will look at that and say, well, you know, we can do this, that and the other. Listen, what happened to Bury FC, it's horrible. You know, it's not a good thing what's happened at all, and it shouldn't happen in football. But I think there'll be a lot more that will go that way at some point, just because of the mismanagement and of the finances.
It's happened to Macclesfield as well, hasn't it?
Happened to Macclesfield, yeah.
Corona's not going to help either, is it?
Definitely not. So you might see a bit of a shift. And obviously what they've done now is they've null and voided the season from the Conference North all the way down. So obviously you have League Two, then the Conference North. So there's no promotion or relegation. So I don't think there'll be any relegation from the Conference this year. Which means, what are those teams fighting for? You know, it's almost as though now it's gone like, well, that's elite, and I know it's non-league, but they're not interested about that side of it. And that needs addressing, because, you know, non-league is a fantastic advert for what football is. And in my opinion, I believe at times we have lost that that football ethic of being around the pitch and,
The community aspect,
yeah. And that's, for me, what Bury AFC is all about, is that community aspect, and you're close to the players. I mean, I got a letter from a fan regarding one of my players who were effing and jeffing at the linesman, saying, you know, we don't appreciate that language and this, that and the other. But I kind of like that, because they're part of the community there. Yeah. You're not going to stop players doing that.
You're right, my letter back saying, fuck off, you miserable.
No, I just said, I'll tell him.
I'll speak to him.
Yeah. But, you know, that to me is what football has lost in some respects, because I can't remember the last time I went to watch a Premier League game, because I think it might have been at Man City or something, and there was no atmosphere there. Yeah. You know, and obviously you guys have played in games with atmosphere, and certainly at the Bury game so far, the atmosphere has been incredible.
So they're having a go?
It's taking it back to its roots, I suppose, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, that's what football is when you strip it all back. But that's why it was created as a community event, and bringing the community together before, obviously, all the money and everything got it to where it is now.
Yeah.
That's what it was there for. And then when you take a town's club away, it strips it back to, we still need that. Mm. We still need it.
I think a lot of, you know, mental health now has come more prominent, hasn't it? And I think in terms of the players, what about the fans as well? There's so much more to kind of a football club other than just going out and playing a game on a Saturday or a Tuesday. It is a community driven thing, and that's what I love and what I like to build, and that's what, you know, Bury is on its way to doing now, is it's got a football club back that people can watch and be proud of.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, all the best. All the best with everything at Bury.
Cheers, guys.
Good luck, mate.
And I will try and lose 3 stone and come play up front for you.
Deal. Pairing. Or you can eat buffet on the way.
Oh, so on the way? What's the game? Fucking hell. It'll be less moment than normal.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.